At Psalm 13, as we continue in our Songs for Summer series in Psalms. So if you've got that open, that's a great thing, Psalm 13. And let's pray as we reflect on this powerful psalm. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us of all kinds of things. As Sarja said earlier, Lord, the Psalms are full of all a range of the emotions of the human life, which you have here for us for good reason. So please bless us to hear what you're saying to us today in this psalm. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as some of you know, I went through a time of deep doubt when I was at theological college. I still have doubts of various sorts today, but this was a concentrated time of powerful doubt. I deeply questioned basically everything about the Christian life, about God, about the Bible, the whole lot. I was sort of on the edge of packing it all in, giving it all up. But throughout that time, that's a bigger story, maybe one day, but throughout that time, I was also doing what I'd done by that time for about a decade, what had been my practice, which is I was regularly praying to God. Even though I was full of doubt, I kept praying each day and through the day at different times as well. And yet it felt like, as I prayed, things only got worse. It felt like the darkness got darker. The problems that I had with faith and with Christianity seemed to get more problematic. And because that was happening as I was still praying, as I was still asking God for help, and it seemed like it got worse, I felt more and more abandoned by God. That was what I felt like. I wasn't sure if there was a God, but if he was there, then I felt like he'd left me on my own to my problems, like he wasn't hearing my cries for help. But as I say, the story of doubt for me is a bigger one for another day, but within it, that sense of abandonment is where the psalm we heard is coming from. It's where it begins, isn't it? It's a very raw psalm, a very dark psalm. I'm sure you noticed as we read through it. And the reason is, I think, because to feel abandoned by God, to feel as if God has abandoned you, is a very dark place to be. And in this series of sermons on the Psalms, which we're calling Songs for Summer, we've seen all kinds of things, and we'll see more, but this one, this psalm, is a song of the darkness. In it we experience, if we'll enter into it, we'll experience feelings of being abandoned in verse 1 and 2, desperate, verses 3 and 4, and then finally a turn to trusting. But you don't get there quickly. You don't get there quickly if you really enter into what he's experiencing. And now, entering into a dark place is not always easy to do. It may not have been what you expected when you came to church on this fine summer's morning. But we're given this psalm for very good reason, as we shall see. It's here in the Bible for us for very good reason. So come with me, come with this psalm, and let's learn together from this dark place. From the start of the psalm, we see the feeling of feeling abandoned. The heading of the psalm tells us, the heading, remember, in italics and in my Bible here, this heading, for the director of music, a psalm of David, that's part of the psalm. It was an original part of the psalm that we've had handed down to us. And we see there, we're put into the shoes of David, the great king of Israel. And the words of this psalm could fit with a number of times and difficulties in his life that he had. Some people think it's related to an illness, and more likely I think it's one of the times when he was on the run, being chased or hunted down by adversaries. But whatever the case, it was an incredibly dark time. But it wasn't simply dark because of the enemy who threatens him, which he mentions a number of times. It wasn't simply dark because of the circumstances he was in. It was dark because it felt to him as if God had abandoned him. Listen to verse 1 again. Have a look with me if you've got it there. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Do you hear that sense of a feeling of abandonment? God, you're forgetting me. You have been for so long. You're hiding your face from me. I can't see you. I can't tell you are there. Are you even there? And then he's in deep anguish as a result, isn't he? Verse 2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Day after day, he's filled with sorrow. He's continually wrestling with his thoughts. I know that feeling. I remember in some of the darker times of my doubt, I would get up each morning and I would have a shower, and then I'd just sit on the steps of our house in the darkness with thoughts and concerns and doubts going round and round and round in my mind, often for about an hour at a time each morning, thinking, where are you, God? Why does it feel like you're not there? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? And did you notice? Four times, in just those two verses, four times, the same two-word phrase comes up. What is it? How long? That's right. This is an ongoing feeling of abandonment. Feels like it's going on forever. When will it stop? How long is this going to happen? This is an extremely raw, extremely real picture of a feeling of abandonment by God. And yet here it is in the Psalms, in the Bible. This powerful expression of feeling like God's hiding from me, or I just can't see him, like he's not listening to me, full of anguish about his non-response, is here in the Bible. And that has some implications for us. First of all, this. If great King David can speak like this, can speak of this experience, so can we. As commentator James Montgomery Boyce says, David is a giant in Scripture. He is a person who is after God's own heart, yet described here as a time when David felt that God had left him entirely and he doesn't cover up his feelings. That's right, isn't it? Boyce is right. If David can speak like this, if he can speak about this, so can we. And yet so often, we don't. This sort of struggle is far more common for Christians than we often think. Many more Christians wrestle with this kind of feeling, the sense of abandonment or doubt. Many more wrestle with that than it appears. And it seems less common than it is because I think we're often too afraid to talk to anyone about it. We're too afraid or too proud or too something to let it show. But David isn't. And if David can speak of it, so can we. And further, next thing, if it's here in the Psalms, then not only has David spoken of feeling like he was abandoned by God, but indeed God himself has had it put here in the Bible. Christians believe that the Bible is God's inspired word. So God has inspired these words. And in his sovereignty, he's made sure they were preserved for us and included in the Bible. Which means God can handle us saying these sort of things when we're feeling them. God isn't surprised when we feel like we can't see him, even if we feel abandoned. We don't need to lock the feelings away inside us if we have them. We can be honest about them. In fact, God's gone further. He's given us words through the Psalms so we can express ourselves when we feel like this. Why not, if you are feeling something like this, why not use the words of this psalm to express how you're feeling? How long, Lord? How long will you hide your face from me? Will you forget me forever? Use the words he's given us. He gave them to us. Use them even when you feel like he's left you, because he's given these words for exactly that situation. He's done it on purpose. And one last thing about this point. Seeing as we can and should be honest about our feelings if we're feeling like this, And seeing as God has given us words to use when we're feeling like this, and he's given this, give them to us in the Bible. For that reason, if someone does you the honor of being honest with you about going through a hard time in their faith, about doubting or about feeling abandoned by God, if someone does you the honor of being honest with you about that, for goodness sake, be gentle. Please be a good listener. If God can put words like this in his Bible, then that makes it okay for us to treat people who express feelings like this with respect and care. Just because someone is feeling this way, the kind of way David expresses here, doesn't mean necessarily that they're doing something wrong. It might just be a time they need to go through. It doesn't mean necessarily there's some big unconfessed sin behind it. We don't know if that was the case for David in this case, but we've got no reason. He doesn't say anything about it. We've got no reason to assume it. And I think one of the reasons that many of us are bad at talking to people about this sort of feeling is that sometimes when we have, people in church have reacted badly. And when I was going through my doubt, a friend of mine who was a pastor put me in touch with a young woman named Linda. And Linda was going through doubt, and she was in my friend's church. When I talked to Linda, she told me she'd been burying her doubt away for a long time, just trying to ignore it. But it was bubbling up now, and she was having trouble ignoring it. And I was actually worried about it when she said she was burying her doubt away, because I know that that's a way to make it fester and cause spiritual rot. And we don't want rot in our foundations, do we? So I asked her, why are you burying it away? It turns out she told one or two people early on in her experience of doubt, and they basically told her, Linda, just get over it. Just have faith. Just believe. And she knew it wasn't that simple because she was trying to get over it and trying to have faith and trying to believe, but she didn't know how to explain it to them when they didn't really want to hear, so she gave up. Please let us not be like Linda's friends. I'm sure they weren't doing it on purpose, but let us not be like that. Be instead like the people that I had around me in my theological college at the same time. See, that was Linda's experience, but my experience was actually very different. When I told people, on the whole, they supported me, they encouraged me, they walked with me. Even when they didn't have the same, oh, this really touches me when I remember, even when they didn't have the same experience of doubt as me, they loved me. They cared about me and they showed it. They didn't just try to make my problem go away, just get over it. They said, how can we help you, brother? They said, what is it that's troubling you? They said, what can we do to help you get through this? Now, we don't glorify the feeling of doubt. We don't glorify feeling like you're being abandoned by God. We don't say, oh, you're so open-minded and hip because you feel like that. No, it's not like that. We don't do that. But we also don't treat people who are struggling with that with disdain or dismissal. And often when we do that, let's be honest, it's because of our own insecurities. It's because we're worried we don't know what to say, so we say, just get over it. It's because we're worried we might have something like that going on in the back of our mind, so we don't want to deal with it. Don't let our own insecurities stop us from being compassionate to people who are going through something like we see in the Bible, in this psalm. Okay. Back to verses 3-4 now. Not only does David feel abandoned, he also feels desperate. He feels desperate. So he's crying out to God in verse 3. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. He's saying, look, answer me, please. I'm about to die here. And the fact that you are seemingly abandoning me, God, is leaving me to be triumphed over by my enemy. Verse 4. See, he's desperate. These are desperate words, aren't they? I'm about to die. He's crying out in desperation. And David, he's not a drama queen. This is real stuff. But as he does cry out in desperation, who is it that he's crying out to? Verse 3 again, look on me and answer, Lord. my God. Lord, that's the covenant name for God, Yahweh, the covenant name for God, the God's name that he'd given to his people. So he's saying, Yahweh, Lord, I'm one of your people, and I'm crying out to you. See, in his desperation, in his sense of abandonment by God, he still prays to God. Even as bad as things are, as much as he feels like God has abandoned him, he can't even see him, doesn't even know if he's there, he still hasn't stopped talking to God about it. Even after it seems so long of feeling like this, because he's been saying, how long, how long, how long, still he's going to God and asking how long. I remember at the low ebbs of my doubt, my prayers often felt like I was talking to a concrete sky and they were just bouncing off, or even bouncing off the inside of my skull, which is pretty thick. And it often felt like, what's the point? What's the point of praying? But still, by God's grace and by the encouragement of others who were wise and cared for me, I kept praying. I kept talking to God about how, God, I'm not sure if you're there, and I don't know why you're not showing yourself. And keep telling him how I felt abandoned by him. And in retrospect, it helped. In one sense, it kept me open to the possibility of relationship with God because I was still talking to him. Whereas I might well have closed down and closed my mind. And God used it, I think, to keep me going, even though at the time I couldn't tell. It's one of the things in this psalm that makes what David expresses here different to sort of flat-out unbelief. It's different to an attitude of saying, I just don't want to believe in that. I'm not interested. He's not like that at all. He keeps talking to God. It's not that he's unwilling to believe or he's just given up on believing. It's rather that he feels abandoned by God. He doubts God's presence. He doubts God's interest in him. But he keeps trying. He keeps taking it to God. He's not just, by the way, talking to others about it. He's talking to God as well. That's what we need to do in situations like this. We need to talk to others. We need to keep talking to God. Well, we've seen in this psalm raw, honest words about feeling abandoned. We've seen raw, honest words about feeling desperate and crying out to God in desperation. But David isn't the only one in the Bible who experiences something like this. Indeed, in different ways, there are a number of others like Job or the teacher of Ecclesiastes. But there is one greater as well. And in him, we see a sense of abandonment and desperation. We see them perfected in a way. Our other reading in Mark chapter 14, which Carol read for us, we heard desperation. Did you hear it there? Those words from Jesus. He was on his way to facing death on the cross. And not just any death, but a death where he would bear the weight of the sin of the world upon himself in anguish. And as he approached that, we're told, he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said. Sounds quite familiar, doesn't it? Distressed, troubled, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Feels like he's about to die. In a word, he was desperate. And soon after this, when the weight of that sin was fully upon him as he hung on the cross, he cried out in the words of another psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? Forsaken. He felt abandoned by God. See, here is the perfect human, the very Son of God, experiencing these same things that David experienced, yet at a deeper and even more profound level, a more profound level than we will ever fully appreciate. And if Jesus himself experienced things like this and expressed them, then at least two things follow. First of all, we have even more reason to think that God can handle it when we feel this way if we tell him how we're feeling. He can handle it. We've got even more reason to think we can talk openly about it. Because if Jesus can experience things like that, how much more should we expect to in our weakness and our sinfulness? So it shouldn't be a surprise, and it shouldn't be a surprise to us when someone else tells us they're feeling them. And how much more, therefore, should we be able to be gracious to people when they express it to us? Secondly, we have reason to think that God understands how we feel when we feel like this. See, in Jesus, in a deep and mysterious way, and it is mysterious, God has felt abandoned. God has felt God forsaken. It was the Son of God, God the Son himself, who said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He has felt a certain type of desperation. He knows what it is to feel like David felt in Psalm 13, as many of us do at different times. So we can go to him. We can cry out to him because he understands. We can do so knowing, in a way even greater than David could know, that God gets us. He understands. And so, in light of Jesus, perhaps even more powerfully, we can understand this final turn of the psalm, where David finally turns to trusting. Look at verses 5 to 6 again. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. The start of verse 5 more literally is, I have trusted in your unfailing love. Past tense. And that goes with the end of verse 6, for he has been good to me. It seems like David is leaning on his past experience of God's goodness, his trust of God, which he knows was good and worthwhile, even if he can't feel it right now. He's saying, I know I've trusted you, and I know you've been good. I remember being asked in the depths of my darkness if I could remember what it was like to hear the voice of my shepherd, hear the voice of Jesus. Do you remember hearing the voice of your shepherd? And I couldn't deny that I heard his voice in the scriptures and that I'd seen him walk off the pages of the Bible into my life, even though at that moment I didn't feel like I could hear him. But I could remember. I could remember. Yeah, I remember hearing the words of Jesus in the scriptures and the way they lit me up. Yeah, I remember that. And it's funny, that remembering actually helped me. Sometimes if we remember when we did hear his voice, it helps us to remember how to hear his voice again. And then his voice starts breaking through. Perhaps that's something of what happened to David here. And so he sets his heart to rejoice in the Lord, verse 5. He knows he's got good reason to do so. And all the more so for us, because we can look back on Jesus now. In Jesus, we have seen God's faithfulness and trustworthiness in a way that's independent of our feelings. The cross and the resurrection still happened in this world. Even if I can't see how God is with me right now, and even if I feel abandoned, it's still true that the cross and resurrection happened. They happened no matter what I feel. And when in the end I look at Jesus in the Gospels and I listen to his words and I see what he did, I can start to see the reasons to praise him. Indeed, as verse 6 says, I can start to see the reasons to sing God's praise. So when we feel abandoned by God, when we feel desperate, hold on. Keep crying out to him. Vent to him if you need to. That's much better than not talking to him. He can handle it. And just try to keep your heart open, even a crack, to trusting him. Just keep that opening there, even though I know it is so hard when you're in that place. But do that, and in the end you will find that God never actually abandoned you. It felt like it. It really felt like it. That feeling was real. But actually, he was always there. You may realize in the end, as I did, that your eyes were in fact closed in the darkness. And when they finally open, you find the light was shining all the while. Let's pray.